Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. That's Mark 12:30. No problem. The next verse says, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, what if your neighbor is Hindu or Muslim or an agnostic or an atheist, or what if he or she is gay? God's church is commissioned by God to be a sanctuary for all people. That's all people. What should be the church's response to those who may look different, talk different, and love different from us? Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine, is here with us to talk about his thoughts and insights on this subject. Lincoln, how's God's church doing so far when it comes to loving gays?
Well, generally, you know, when you say God's church, the followers of God are in all denominations.
Yes.
You know, I don't want to say one is only.
Yes.
I think not too good in the West. In fact, some of the most vicious persecution of gays was from Christians during the Inquisition. That was something that would bring you to their attention pretty
yes.
readily.
Yes.
It's not by chance that a term that is not used much anymore, a faggot, mm-hmm. you know, came from the Middle Ages. That was the wooden kindling
yes.
for the fire.
Yes.
And of course, Adolf Hitler picked up on the Christian prejudices in Europe, and before he started sending the Jews wholesale, he was also arresting and liquidating homosexuals, transvestites, and so on. There is a great need for Christian charity toward all people that have made less than ideal moral choices. Mm-hmm. And it's not just gays. We need to be careful of that. I mean, I am hardly pro-gay. I don't think anyone listening to this program thinks that. But it does trouble me that we, more and more, since it's a big public discussion, seem to be singling this out as the sin of all sins.
Yeah.
You know, any sin that we cling to and that we indulge will just as surely lose us the favor of God and ultimately salvation.
Mm-hmm.
The Christian Bible is most plain about that. But we're facing it as a society. It's risen up beyond the restroom arrests and the wide stance a few years ago of a politician that got arrested.
Yes.
That wasn't even that long ago. But what really changed not long ago, and I'll get to more of what I want to say in these few minutes, because it's a huge issue, but I want to link this to some legal developments in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Not too many years ago, the Supreme Court had to face a case that came from two gay men that were indulging in riotous, for want of a better word, behavior in a private home that was so outrageous that the neighbors called the police. And, you know, they found some strange behavior there. And so they were charged, and it went all the way up to the Supreme Court, who looked at it as a privacy issue.
Hmm.
You know, people often say, what you do in the privacy of your own home, consenting adults, you know, why should the government be in on it?
Hmm.
So they, and I think reasonably, decided, therefore, it's none of the government's business. I'm not sure the Supreme Court at that time realized that in so doing, they effectively gave the final approval to gay behavior, you know, in society as a whole. Even though it had been sort of emerging in many places that was still illegal, you could be arrested and so on. Suddenly with that, it was open go. And between that court case and today, we've moved beyond to not just whether gay behavior is okay, but to whether they can marry and have equal status with all other people in all regards, inheritance and medical and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And in that regard, we're at another watershed because in March, and I don't know when this program will be aired, likely before then. So in March, the Supreme Court is expected to hear two cases that test the case of gay marriage. One of them we'll be looking at California's Proposition 8, which attempted mm-hmm. through a state plebiscite to lock things up by saying that marriage was only between a man and a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one that they'll probably do the next day is a challenge to the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, which goes back to the Bush era, when they were wanting to have a super law that would sort of lock between a man and a woman, and they were hoping at that time to even have a constitutional amendment, which never got through. Mm-hmm. So these were basically the last two refuges of mostly Christians who have taken political action to try to stop. And it's not a bad thing in itself because it's objectionable from a doctrinal spiritual base, but they're trying to stop what they perceive as an otherwise unstoppable social move toward accepting this. And from a religious liberty perspective, I find that very troubling. Because just because the majority thinks something is no excuse for them to impose it on a minority, and even worse, if this is as a diminishing majority that thinks they're soon to be in the minority and they're trying to make a legal end run to stop it. Again, it's more egregious.
You've made this point before. You say the majority rule is not always the best thing.
Well, it's rarely the best thing.
Yeah.
And it's one of the unspoken elements, or at least misunderstood elements of the American experiment, that every one of the American major framers of the Constitution and founders of the Republic had deep suspicion of pure majoritarian rule. Mm-hmm. And the wonderfully successful Republican system in the United States is largely because that it has so many mechanisms to thwart the will of the majority.
Yes. When we look at this world today and when we look at the gay issues and whatnot, is it really necessary for us to stop it? I mean, we can't stop certain things. Is this something that we really should be? We find it offensive, yes, but I find drinking offensive, but I'm not out marching against drinking. Maybe I should be. I find smoking, but I'm not out marching against smoking. But here we have gays. Well, there's people out marching from the church against gays. Why should we be concerned about these things, Lincoln? We're not concerned about the others quite so much. We're not marching against other things that are just as sinful.
Absolutely. And we need to recognize that it's not a Christian or a Buddhist or I think any faith prerogative to force its viewpoint on the entire society, except for those moments of medieval Christendom that thought that the sword was a good converter, and equally in Islam, they've gone through their phases.
Yes, yes.
Most rational people know that you have to persuade an individual just to get them under threat of the Damocles sword to say, oh, yes, I believe now. This seldom leads to good behavior and, of course, rarely leads to any change in thinking. And so a Christian should be speaking to the moral situation, and I've said this to our religious liberty group in the Seventh Adventist Church. We need to be careful that we don't substitute legal action and interventions and lobbying for loudly proclaiming through the many avenues that we have in society, what God wants, what the Bible is, and not just condemning, saying that there's a better way.
Yes, yes, I like that.
That your life will be more fulfilling if you follow these cues from the Bible, not just that God will love you more. I think many gays coming in the United States, particularly coming from a Christian background, are already under a certain conscience, a sense that they're cast out, that they're condemned, and that's not a good frame of mind. And that's, I think, somewhat responsible for some of the psychological aberrations that you can clearly see in the gay community.
Yes.
And Christians are responsible for that, in my view.
Yes.
We should be offering a cleansing of mind, clearing of conscience, and a better way of living to all peoples, and certainly gays just as much as anyone else. Someone that's living on in a healthy life, they're going to destroy themselves. Someone that's lying and stealing and cheating, they will come to a bad end. Mm-hmm. And somebody that's living in any sort of an immoral arrangement, whether it's serial marriages or hooking up constantly with male, female, whatever,
yes,
it's going to come to a bad end. The Bible speaks to these things. And Christ says, I've come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. That's a great message that we should be giving to this situation, rather than far too many Christians, as with Proposition 8, have decided that they will be the killjoys by saying, here, your civil society has allowed your behavior, but we will say it's not to be called marriage. Mm. You're not to have visitation rights. You're not to have inheritance. You are to be excluded because you are unfit in our eyes. You know, I don't think that's legally, morally, or religiously correct.
Again, it comes down to love, doesn't it? We have to learn to love as a society. We have to learn to love each other. And I like what you say there, Lincoln, that we need to demonstrate to everyone a better way. And that's hard to do in a sinful world. It's hard enough for people who aren't gay and who are in marriages, who are trying to raise children, to show that, you know, this is fun. This is great. We're having a good time. It's hard to do that. And also, I want to tell the gay community this, if someone is listening here who is gay, we're using the Bible as the standard here. We're not using Lincoln Steed or Charles Mills as standards here. We're using the Bible. What else can we do as Christians? That's what we're doing. So it's not a condemnation that's coming from individuals. It is instead, as Lincoln says, a better way coming from God's Word. And I think if we would put that message out repeatedly, not only on the air, but in our lives, that we could make a difference in people's lives that we're not making now. Am I on the right track, Lincoln?
Absolutely. Just the other day, I watched again a video. I won't name it, but it was a documentary video of the Bush era. But in it, it had some footage from Saudi Arabia of a public execution for adultery. Mm. I think I've been exposed to more than I should have with killings in different areas, and the Vietnam War began it and so on. Mm. But this sort of shook me, because to watch a simple act that wasn't done with bravura or even a smile on the face, but a guy with a white tunic and a long curved scimitar with people all gathered around, he hacks someone's head off. This is because of their religious law in that country. They take it straight from the Quran. Yes. You commit adultery, we convict you of that. And usually, ironically, the woman, the man's more likely to get off. Yeah. But you lose your head. You know, in a certain way, we're ready to apply that same thing to gays. And I know the Christian Reconstructionists say it openly. When they get control, which hopefully is never, there'll be mandatory death for gays as Sabbath breakers, as adulterers. Mm. In the Old Testament times, there was a period when certain things had an immediate punishment. And many people that read the Bible don't understand it. They, you know, think this is what Christianity is about. But Jesus said these were times for the hardness of the heart. Yes. It's not so with God. He judges you on your thoughts, and then he doesn't condemn. Mm. He wants you to make a moral choice for him and to live differently.
Mm. Well, that is the message that we need to be proclaiming in love to the world right now. www.libertymagazine.org is our address. Lincoln Steed, thank you for being with us today.
Always a pleasure.
And until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine, inviting you to rest in the freedom of God's love. Goodbye, everyone. If you'd like more information about LifeQuest Liberty, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 618-627-4651 or email us through our website at 3abn.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of liberty burning in your heart today.